Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wall of Power Radio Hour. This is your host, Paul Metzler. We have a great guest on tonight. Mr. Dan Israel has just released his 14th album called You Are Free. We talk about his life in music starting in the early 90s in Chicago. Then he moved down to Austin, Texas, where I met him in 1993. Over the years, he's played with everybody from Morrissey, Loudon Wainwright, Todd Snyder, the Tragically Hip, Peter Himmelman, and more. He's a great guy. He's a lifer in the biz. He's a single dad raising a lovely daughter and a lovely son. And he is back on the scene after he quit his day job after 21 years. We talk about life and music, being a single dad, the Iron Range, where his mother is from, his records, his music. We're going to hear his music and have a great conversation. And with no further ado, my guest and old buddy, Dan Israel. Dan, thanks for being here tonight.
Hey, Paul. Good to see you.
You look great, man.
Thank you. I know you've been busy.
Too.
I've been real busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a new record out called You Are Free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess part of it is because you had a day job working at the state capitol for how long?
21 years.
Wow.
21 years for the reviser of statutes.
And what the hell is that?
I revised a hell of a lot of statutes. I mean, helped to revise them. Proofread, you know, just a lot of words over the years.
Wow.
It was a nonpartisan office, so it gagged me a little as far as politics goes.
Right.
But now
you are free.
I'm free, exactly.
and most of the time, mm-hmm. you were doing it as a single dad raising two kids.
Yeah.
Plus playing music.
Yeah. At least I've removed the day job from that crazy equation, you know. And what I've been noticing lately is, like, I keep asking myself, how did I do all this and do the job?
Right.
Because I feel like I'm busy right now. Not like I was, but.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know how music is just a full-time job no matter, I mean, it just is, because booking and promoting and recording and writing.
Promoting now on social media is a full-time job.
It is a full-time job. And every time somebody tells you there's a new thing you got to do, you just want to tear your hair out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, somebody just gave me a hard time a couple months ago, in a good way, a constructive way, about not being on Instagram.
Right. I was going to say Instagram. That's the new.
I said, I'm not doing it. A week later, there I am on Instagram. And everyone's on it. I was like, oh, I guess you're all here.
Right.
But I didn't want to come to that party, but I invited myself after all. So.
You know what's interesting, though? I remember a couple years ago, there was a musician complaining on Facebook about the same thing we're talking about, and there's reasons to complain about it. And and I said, you know, I bumped into him somewhere, and I said, hey, man, I said, you don't remember, he was from down south somewhere, he moved up to Minneapolis. I said, back when I was getting started with Cats Under the Stars in the early 80s, we'd get a couple hundred posters the middle of February. Oh. One guy would take Dinkytown, one guy would take the West Bank.
All street
one
guy, work.
Yep, one All guy would take Uptown.
Freezing.
Yeah.
Putting up, I remember putting up a poster by the 400 bar one night, and I got frostbite.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the posters would fall down, and the wind would blow them across the street.
The worst. How about all the mailing you had to do with postcards? Did you used to send out postcards? Here's one I got for you, too. And this, I actually wanted to talk to you about this, whether we were on the air or not, but I was thinking how much time, you know, we spend now on email booking, right?
Right.
How much time, though, what did we used to do? We used to have to make phone calls, right? That was particularly egregious.
Right.
I mean, calling about booking to actually have to get rejected right over the phone
immediately.
Exactly. You know, now they just ignore your emails or your texts or your messages. But back then, you know, you literally got told, you're not what we're, you know, I can't book you or... You know, you actually got rejections. And I don't think part of the problem right now is people don't know how to, they're losing their ability to talk on the phone and give rejections.
Right.
So that they ghost you on everything.
Right.
You know how, you mean.
Well, and then, you know, I think that's a good point, Dan, to talk about, especially for any of the non-musicians out there, that you put out what, this is your 14th or 15th record?
14th, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So besides being rejected by club owners, festival promoters,
labor,
hostile audiences,
everyone,
you know, I mean, band members, you know, then occasionally you get a bad review.
Oh, you sure do. I just did this thing. I'll tell you, see, I don't know. I won't use the name of it, but there is a service that purports to send your music around to blogs.
Right.
And you pay.
Right.
Okay. So I just...
Well, you always got to pay somebody.
Yeah. So I spent very little money on it, so I don't feel like that big of a fool. Spent, you know, nominal amount of money the other day. And it sent the title track to my new album. It went around to some blogs, and they all got rejected. Like, I was like... But worse yet, the feedback was so ignorant.
Right.
And so... pointless.
Right.
Like one guy said, this sounds like the Lemonheads. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Which song? I mean,
right.
That's all you got.
Right.
Like, I think it just,
you
maybe
can do better
than
that.
You can do better, you know, and then you can rate their feedback. And right. I gave them like one star. Cause you know, you're going to crap on me.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of them were nice, and I hate to be so defensive, and I know that they're getting bombarded. I understand they're right. always both sides.
Right.
We've been on both sides. We've right. booked people. We've had to turn, you know, we've had to avoid people or whatever. I don't know. I'm sure it's happened. But the thing, you know, I don't know. It's all just crazy right now.
Well, I remember, you know? I think where I learned to kind of just temper any bad reviews I've gotten over the years, and I've gotten... more than my share.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago.
Locally?
Locally? Oh, yeah, there was a few.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you don't have to name names, but
no,
I
won't.
Yeah.
do you remember a guy named Mark Gaddis? He was older than us.
I remember the name.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. he was one of the folkies in the mid to late 70s, early 80s,
mm-hmm.
back when some of these guys were actually released and when you could find a place to press albums,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was unique in you know, in the 70s
mm-hmm.
Independently. And anyway, so he puts out this record. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was called. And then re-releases it about a year and a half or 2 years later. Same record with different artwork, right? So...
you're giving me an idea here.
So the reviewer, I believe, it might have been Sweet Potato, which was mm-hmm. the precursor to City Pages. It mm-hmm. might have been City Pages. And this was my glimpse into the music mm-hmm. critic's mind. The reviewer said... It's not a bad work, but for sure, it's a marked improvement over his last record.
It was
the same damn
well,
record.
Well, see, now, part of me, the mischievous side of me, wants to pull this trick
right.
to see if that happens.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, when I say I don't think people are listening to it,
right.
I mean it.
Right.
And you know it to be true, right?
Right.
That the odds of people actually, and now, of course, with the way it's set up now where you can, like, track how many plays something
right.
got on SoundCloud or Bandcamp, you literally know if they listened to part of it or
right.
all of it.
Right.
And you see these partial listens, and you're just like, really? Like,
right.
You, a 2.5 minute song, and you just couldn't get all the way through
right,
it,
right, right. Well, you know, the other great, one of my heroes in the Twin Cities music scene is Steve Tibbetts.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant guy. He went to McAllister,
mm-hmm.
way ahead of the curve. I think he graduated in like 77.
Remind me, I mean, I know his name too,
Steve Tibbetts ended
totally
up on ECM Records.
Okay.
He was a guitarist. He was kind of like John McLaughlin, but very ethereal stuff.
Where is he now?
A lot of percussion. He still lives in Minneapolis somewhere. I don't see him much.
Doesn't play much.
It doesn't play out much, but mm-hmm. he does, all his projects are very esoteric, very cool. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll go into, mm-hmm. you know, the mountains.
So, little Leo Kottke-ish, but more avant-garde.
No, more electric,
no.
really.
Okay.
But anyway, he's been a good buddy of mine over the years. But the brilliant thing about what he did was he talked McAllister College
mm-hmm.
into go, hey, rather than me doing, you know, my graduate thesis, let me record a record in your 8-track studio. So,
brilliant.
I mean, yeah, he's got it all covered,
yeah.
right? So the record comes out. I think it was called You're a YR. So then he would send his records out to try to get a major label deal.
Sure.
Every time he got a rejection letter, he uh-huh. put it in the packages and sent it out to the next company.
He took the, he put the letter for
the rejection
other one?
Record, yeah.
So did it work?
By the time he had gotten 35 rejection letters.
Did he include
each
all
letter,
the previous ones?
Every letter. He just put it in the next mail out.
I'm
stack
fascinated.
Them up. Yeah. So he put them out.
Uh-huh.
By the time he got 35 rejection letters uh-huh. in the package with
yeah.
his record, Europe, Senate, and he got a deal with ECM Records with Manfred Eicher out of Europe. Brilliant.
I mean, I'm astounded, envious.
And bowed down.
This kind of stunt, this idea of doing a stunt of some type does appeal to me, yeah. You know.
All in the sky can be yours. You got to hear in the best indoors. After you tried out all the cures, you're free. No one can tell you what to do. After the trials you fell into, you don't have a clue what they ain't been through or seen.
Free. We're going to have Mr. Israel on for the whole show tonight on the Wall of Power Radio Hour. We'll be back after these messages.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Standard Heating knows some things never get old for us Minnesotans. The fall colors, s'mores, and football tailgating. But some things like your furnace do get old, and that can mean higher heating bills. Fortunately, you can save $1,300 on a new high-efficiency furnace from Standard Heating and help cut your heating bills. Learn more about saving $1,300 on your new furnace at standardheatingdeals.com. Don't wait. These savings end October 31st. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week we talk about why mortgage rates are at a 7-year high, the effects of a low unemployment rate on the mortgage market, and the crackdown on short-term rentals.
Check us out for more information. Email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to The Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Thank you, Minnesota, for helping family-owned Warner Stellion become one of the most respected appliance sellers in the U.S. We believe the best way to thank you is with unbeatable savings. Now through October 15th, get free installation from our trusted specialists on select Bosch and KitchenAid dishwashers, or save hundreds on a new kitchen suite. We'll help you find just the right one to complement your style. These and hundreds more unbeatable deals await you through October 15th, exclusively from Minnesota's own appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, our theme is befriending the untouchables. I will talk about the Little Rock Nine and two white students who treated them as humans. Then the big interview will be with Father Harry Hartigan about his work with Minnesota's own Untouchables, the folks confined to Moose Lake for sex-related offenses. LE 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Israel. This is Paul Metzger. More conversation with mischievous Mr. Israel.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit too much of a wuss to do, like, I'll just give you an example of a stunt that maybe went a little awry.
Right.
I did an April Fool's joke one year. Back before social media, but we were on email, I said that I got signed to J Records by Clive Davis. And it was all a joke about that Santana album.
Right.
Like I said, Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 and all this stuff.
Right.
Well, I thought it was so preposterous that no one would ever think it was real.
Right.
Boy, was I wrong. And the phone started, we had a common phone at my job at the legislature.
Right.
So this is, in those days, it just started ringing all morning for me. People were calling to congratulate me at work, and I had to sit there and tell them all that it was a joke, and many people were not pleased because, you know, they, in all sincerity, they were so happy for me. You know,
And then you're calling out of an office at the state capitol, so when your boss walks by, you have to pretend like you're on official business.
It didn't look good. It didn't look good. And there were people who were genuinely sore at me for a while about it. So that's probably the last April Fool's joke I ever played.
You know what's funny, though? Lifers like yourself, myself, Steve Tibbetts, mm-hmm. you just develop, it gives you a greater sense of humor.
Yep.
And it's
yep.
your sense of humor is your armor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like Brian McGee used to say, he said, my guitar is my weapon against the world.
How do you possibly survive in this business as long as people like yourself and without some kind of thick skin or some kind of defense to all this rejection and all this humiliation
right.
and ego back, you know, your ego takes a beating, then it gets like a temporary boost
right.
for a few minutes and you're like, I've arrived. And then 5 minutes later, or, you know, not literally 5 minutes, figuratively 5 minutes later, nobody takes your calls.
So, right.
You know.
Well, Steve Tibbetts told me his favorite bad review was a real short one. It said, I'd rather listen to a refrigerator hum than listen to this record. We were talking on the break about technology, and mm-hmm. now everybody with a little home studio are actually on their phone
right?
can mm-hmm. record a record.
Yes.
And send it out to get reviewed.
Yes.
So,
and we all want to encourage people to explore their creative side, right?
Yes, we do.
Right.
We do. Well, as a dad, you do that with your
exactly.
kids, right?
Nurture, you know, be supportive, even if sometimes the fledgling steps are difficult to, you know, endure.
Right. The beauty of the old school A&R guys,
mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Ahmet Erdogan or, you know, the Chess Brothers or John Hammond.
Lenny Waronker.
Yeah, Lenny Waronker.
Yeah.
Where they were kind of the ears to let you into the kingdom.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The gatekeepers
mm-hmm.
and the ears to hear if you were good enough to get into the kingdom.
But they had good ears a lot of the time.
Right, right.
Do you trust Pitchfork to be the gatekeeper? I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, and two, the thing about having innate talent that you've worked on so you can sing in tune and play in tune, to the degree that mm-hmm. folk singers like you and I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just saw something the other day. there was a joke floating around about the engineer, the Pro Tools engineer, that said to the band, said to the band after they cut a track, he says, "You guys sound terrible. Come on in. You know, we'll fix it in the mix," as they say.
Yeah, I have some issues with that whole approach, for sure. The idea that a live performance of the song properly isn't even really necessary anymore to be able to create that something in the studio. But it's just part and parcel of all the larger weirdness that we're encountering with technology. And I don't know if you watch Black Mirror or if you've seen that, but it's just a sort of a dystopian view of all these devices that we're, you know, so addicted to now, myself included. But there was a wonderful democratization that occurred with recording equipment coming down in price and scope, you know, because of digital and the ability to do all these things with microchips. And, you know, there's a great aspect of it all, okay? But it also means that everybody and his brother and sister now makes records, puts them out there, and I'm not trying to argue that you or I are entitled to some greater consideration.
Right.
Except I am trying to argue that.
Right.
Because we've
kids get off my lawn.
It's a freaking hobby.
Yeah.
For people.
Right.
And that's great. And I don't want to, everybody has a right to release. Of course they have the right to. But should they? No, I don't know. It's when you hear the critics and people who run blogs and all these things complain about the deluge of stuff they get,
right?
I think they're telling the truth.
Yeah,
they're telling the truth that it's impossible to wade through how much is out there now. The internet has just, you know, for a long time, I'm sure you and I heard all the wonderful things the internet was going to do for music and for our careers, and how it'd be so easy to just put things out there to the whole world. Aha. But they have to find it.
Right.
And who controls that?
Right.
Google, Facebook,
right.
All these titans, Amazon, you know,
right.
These huge mega monopolistic type corporations are now controlling the internet, whether we like it or not.
And because we're all entwined with social media and our phones,
we are
whatever, and we've given up pretty much all of our privacy to the institutions you just named. And at the end of the day, what really bothers me is that Dick Cheney is sitting in his basement in Montana monitoring our every move. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh,
the political implications of what we're giving up to be part of this new modern technological empire.
Well, there's the question. Did this whole technological revolution democratize our society more, or did it actually create more oligarchies?
Right.
You know, do we have just an elite now that sits in control of almost everything that we do?
Right. That's a good point.
And I mean, I think
Big Brother's even bigger.
It's not, I don't know if the internet's over, but it's certainly wobbling quite a bit in terms of, especially with these latest Facebook revelations and all this stuff with Cambridge Analytica and everything. It seems like the fix is in.
At the end of my rope, I'm alive with the hope of a new day. Beyond the confusion, success, illusion, a new way. I had my head held down so long, I didn't know that the sun still shined. Somehow I'm feeling now, I'm gonna make this life mine.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call ZeroRes to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZeroRes and tell them you're an AM 950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. ZeroRes. Spell it backward or forwards. It spells the same.
Hi, Gregory Rich, founder and chief at Habitation Furnishing and Design, and now I'd like to invite you to kill your Sunday evenings with me right here on AM 950 with Drink in the Style. It's a one-hour-long conversation of interior design, art, architecture, and pretty much anything else visual and aesthetic, all while enjoying some booze handcrafted by our friends at Mill Valley Kitchen. Can you think of a better way to spend Sunday evenings? Drink in the Style, Sundays. 5 p.m.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. The award-winning Hazel's Northeast combines the feel of a small-town diner with the vibrant nature of its Northeast Minneapolis neighborhood. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, weekend brunch, or dinner, their classically inspired and creatively prepared American comfort food is always made from scratch. Hazel's Northeast at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. EatLocalMinnesota.com. The dedicated staff at Nightingale Restaurant take pride in presenting a thoughtful and delicious approach to food and drink, whether you're visiting for dinner, happy hour, or brunch. Their focus on made-from-scratch meals using sustainable and local ingredients is likely to make Nightingale your go-to spot for inspired food and drinks. Nightingale, Lindale and 26th in Minneapolis.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Tonight, slight chance of showers with a low around 44. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. And Sunday, cloudy with a high near 53. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Situated by Moore Lake on Highway 65, Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is one of the most beautiful destination fine dining restaurants in the Twin Cities. Located at 6161 Highway 65 Northeast in Minneapolis, find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
I'm trying to tell you how I feel about you. It ain't so easy to do. You know I love you forever. But I still got some things I gotta do. Don't need to fake it.
forever, promise forever. You wouldn't believe if I did.
Welcome back to the Wall of Power Radio Hour. This is your host, Paul Metza. We just heard Back to You by my guest in the studio for the whole show tonight, Mr. Dan Israel. That song was off his latest record, his 14th album called You Are Free. When did your first record come out?
So I grew up here in St. Louis Park and had some bands in high school, and then I went off to college at Northwestern in Chicago as a film student, and then I started doing demo tapes in Chicago. So, you know, I'm sure you had tapes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Before you had CDs, and so I had a couple tapes with One Town Horse was the first. That was in Chicago, and we had some shows in Chicago in the clubs and stuff too. We opened for Reverend Horton Heat at the Lounge Acts, owned by Jeff Tweedy's wife. I mean, I don't think they were married back then, but Sue Miller, who's married to Jeff Tweedy of Wilco now, she owned the Lounge Acts, and we had the night the first Gulf War broke out, we opened for Reverend Horton Heat at the Lounge Acts.
Wow.
That was, I think, January 16, 1991 or something like that, but
wow,
right in there.
Tweedy, that'd be a good producer for you.
Oh, yeah. I need to get him my stuff, don't I?
Yeah.
I met him once at First Avenue, but it was like, it was a Golden Smog thing, and
yeah,
he didn't know me from anyone, but yeah, I love Wilco.
We've got some shared history together.
Shared, yeah.
First
of all,
we walked
similar paths.
Yes, well, we didn't meet in Minneapolis. Mm. We met in Austin, Texas.
In 93, we figured out, or something like that.
Was it at South by Southwest?
It was at the Chicago House.
Right.
Or outside. I think you were playing at the Chicago House.
Okay.
And I went down, and I knew of you. I knew Jim Anton.
Yeah.
And so I knew of you. That was, you know, I knew your name, but I hadn't been living here for years.
Right.
I was never old enough to go to bars when I lived here until after I moved back later from Boston. So, yeah, that's where we met.
But you developed quite a head of steam down in Austin.
That was my first real, you know, foray. And in Chicago, I, you know, put my toe in the water of Lake Michigan. But in Austin, I was pretty fully committed to really going for it. So we had this band, Potter's Field, in Austin, and we played a lot. I mean, I was only living there 3 years, but we played a lot. We toured back up here in Chicago a couple times and put out a CD, which at that time, as you know, was kind of a big deal.
Right.
In the early 90s, it was still a big deal to put out a CD. So, but then we broke up. Do you know Beaver Nelson?
I actually worked Beaver at Mayslacks.
Oh, yeah.
With Scrappy
Judd. Scrappy Judd, yeah. Well, this is a very long and convoluted story that I won't bore everyone
with. Beaver's one of the very well-respected songwriters in Austin.
Exactly. And he had a record deal at the time with James Cameron, like Titanic.
Right.
He started a label called Lightstorm and flew, you know, Beaver went to, I think, Nashville or Memphis. It was Memphis. Might have been Arden Studios.
Wow.
Probably was. But our bass player and our band sort of, that's why our band sort of broke up, is because he ended up playing with Beaver at the time. So
let's kick his ass.
Well, Beaver and I have joked about it. So I think it's water under the proverbial bridge.
Right. But. So when did you move back up to the Twin Cities to start performing here?
Oh, and by the way, I just wanted to add to that. Yeah. Fastball was part of that whole, band Fastball, they were Beaver's band too. So it's hard to explain it a little bit.
Right.
If people know Fastball and they're friends of mine, Tony Scalzo and Miles Zuniga, they were in the scene at that time too and played with Beaver too. So that was kind of interesting. So the band broke up in Austin. I stayed there another year, and then at the end of 95, I moved back here.
Okay.
And I had never really played in the scene here, you know, until then. I'd maybe come up and play at the new Riverside Cafe a couple times. But I found, you know, I moved back here in November of 95.
The Biomagnetic Center of the Universe, as they used to call
it. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, they used to call it.
It
was a vegetarian restaurant, and there was a lot of things, a lot of vegetable-type things being smoked in that basement.
Yes, yes.
That's what somebody told me.
Yeah, that I'm sure that's probably true. Do you remember who the booker was? Somebody.
Yes,
Al.
Mm-hmm. Who passed away.
Yes, he did. Yes,
Al's name will come to me by the end of the show.
I know.
But, you know, he had a phenomenal archive of tapes and posters. Mm-hmm. And he donated it. They had a fundraiser, mm-hmm. and they donated his archive to the University of Minnesota.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I knew about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was kind of obsessive with keeping everything.
And Greil Marx's daughter, who mm-hmm. actually married Steve Perry, her name... Mrs. Perry, I guess, mm-hmm. is not coming right now, but she was kind of in charge of running some of that archive at the U of M.
Okay.
So that's where Al's stuff ended up. Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was.
He used to play a little jug, a little harmonica.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he gave me my first gigs in town. Him and John Fenner also gave me some.
Oh, yes, he had an open mic.
He had an open mic, like at the Artist Quarter.
Artist Quarter, yeah, uh-huh. for sure.
Five Corners, too, maybe. I might have gone down... So those are my first gigs. But when I moved back, then I started playing. I formed the band, The Cultivators, Dan Israel and The Cultivators, and played with the band a lot and put out albums in the late 90s. And, you know, the lineup for the band changed drastically in 99. The Mill City Music, we call it the Mill City Meltdown.
Right.
Our band broke up on stage in a possibly hilarious moment if enough time has passed, that where I threw my guitar and... I had a temper tantrum. It was very
mature. You're such a
very
prima donna,
Israel. Yeah, it was very mature of me. But
and I bet you got that gig through our mutual friend, the late, great Sue McLean.
The late, great Sue McLean, which we were just talking about how what an impact she had on both of us. And
and on the music scene in general.
I mean, you can't really, it's incalculable, isn't it?
It really is.
She's dearly missed.
Well, really, you know, when she passed 4 years ago, mm-hmm. I wrote something somewhere and I said she's had, if you look at all the shows she booked, hundreds mm-hmm. if not thousands of shows of mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. the old Guthrie Theater, the Walker Art Center, the Minnesota
Zoo.
Basilica Block Party, name it, she's had her hands
big
on
stuff.
It she's provided as much musical satisfaction to Minnesotans as Prince or Dylan.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair statement.
See this ugly world, and still I know there's some rainbow. See the lies and hate, and still believe there's some reprieve. Walk along the shore, you try to be no enemy. Reached out just to be kind, they robbed you blind, paid you no mind.
You just heard a great song by Dan Israel called Get You Through It off his new record, his 14th album called You Are Free. If you would like to find out where Dan is playing or where you can purchase his music, go to danisraelmusic.com. That's Dan Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L, music.com. More with Dan on the Wall of Power Radio Hour after these messages.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
You are back with the Wall of Power Radio Hour. This is your host, Paul Metza. This show is brought to you in part by the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation. One more segment with our guest, the great Mr. Dan Israel. Speaking of Dylan Iron Range, your mother's from my hometown, Virginia, Minnesota.
That's right. That's right. So I'm a second generation semi-ranger, but my mom is, my mom's from Virginia, Minnesota, and she met Dylan when she was growing up. I don't know if I ever had told you that
story.
No,
tell us the story.
Well, my mom had sort of, as I got more and more into Dylan, I would have to ask her again to tell me the story of how Bob Dylan played guitar for her and her friend in her friend's basement when they were teenagers.
Right.
And Bob Zimmerman. And, I think it happened a couple times, actually. And I think it was a friend in Duluth, but I have to like make sure I get the story exactly right. But I know it to be true. And my grandmother was a piano teacher on the range. She was a concert pianist. She was amazing, actually.
What was her name?
That was Dorothy Borgen. So she gave lessons.
She didn't. Did she marry and become Dorothea Tomes?
No.
Okay. Because there was another great piano teacher named Dorothea Tomes. Yeah. Who used to go out with Eric Severide?
Oh, my gosh.
That was her kind of fame, Miss Combs. Yeah,
yeah, actually.
My sister and I took from her.
I grew up hearing about Eric Severo.
Yeah.
He was my mom's favorite.
Your mom got around.
Yes. Yes, in a manner of speaking. My grandmother was supposed to give Bob piano lessons, actually, is what I was told. And she did give David Zimmerman lessons. But Bob didn't want to take lessons. And then, as we know, he ended up touting his keyboard skills for Bobby V.
Right.
As Elston Gunn with three N's.
Right. And
but only in the key of C.
But only in the key of C. Mm-hmm. And if there wasn't a piano that they could move, which there wasn't back
right.
then, he'd be just do the hand claps.
That's right. That's right. And I think Bobby V, well, I don't know if at the same time, but there was that Dylan Symposium.
Yes.
Dave Marsh
2007.
Was here. I think maybe
you
we
and I
were.
Dave Marsh's radio show.
We were with
show.
Bobby.
Yeah.
With Bobby V. Yep.
And he looked like a million bucks, didn't he?
Oh, he sure did.
He was buff and he was
sure
tan
did.
And he couldn't have been sweeter.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that the role he played in rock history.
Yeah.
It's monumental. It's hard to, you can't overstate it.
Well, the last year he was alive, I think it was in 2014 when Dylan played Midway Stadium.
The shout out?
Yeah.
Susie Baby?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Susie Baby played Bobby V's first hit. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was there with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dylan speaks so rarely in concert.
Yes.
And so he was talking to me, and I told my girlfriend, mm-hmm. I said, hey, we got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into this beautiful soliloquy about how much he loved Bobby V. It was so touching.
It was very touching.
And
was Bobby there?
Bobby was there.
I thought he was. I stands to reason. Were you in Duluth when Bob played with Paul Simon?
Yeah.
And he said, I grew up in those hills?
Yeah.
That's another moment like that where, like, I think everyone sort of, oh, he's actually, like, opening up here because he so rarely does.
I was at a Dylan show courtesy of my good friend, the dearly departed but lovely Larry Keegan, who is a childhood buddy of Dylan's.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Dylan played the Upper Midwest, Larry always hooked me up with tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see him at, I believe it was a gymnasium in Fargo, but it might have been a concert hall. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. There was about four shows during that week, and they all kind of ran together. But Bob came out, and Bobby V was living up there at the time. You know, that's where they hooked up, Elston Gunn and Bobby V.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a really nice intro and said, Bobby V is here. He goes, I really learned a lot from Bobby V.
Mm-hmm.
And then went into this apocalyptic version of Ballad of a Thin Man.
Really?
And it was incredible.
Interesting.
One of those great Dylan moments. What's one of your favorite Dylan moments, sing him in concert?
Before I tell you that, I just was going to, did you meet him then?
Huh?
Did you meet
him? No, I met him in 1982 at the Artist Quarter.
Okay. Oh, he was just in the audience?
Yeah, for a Hubert Sumlin show.
Okay. Because we just had Willie Nelson's 85th birthday, right?
Right.
Well, and this is a long story, but the taping of Willie's 60th birthday party, and Bob was there, and so was everybody else on the planet.
Right.
And I tried to hand him my demo tape that night, and like he sort of had a bodyguard guy who took it out of Bob said, thanks. He said, I distinctly heard him say, thanks.
Right.
But then the guy took it out of Bob's hand and handed it back to me as if it was some kind of, you know, weapon or something. But
well, I remember, I think it was Carla Bly, the jazz pianist. Because, you know, we've all done it. We've all given our...
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, David Carr used to, when we did backstage together, if I had a record out and whoever we were going to see, David Carr used to refer to it as me sliming people.
Right.
which kind of how you feel.
That's pretty much how it feels, to be on that end of it.
But Carla Bly used to say, now this was back in the days when people would give you your demo cassette tapes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And she goes, no, I don't mind it. She goes, but just make sure you don't take the tabs out. So she could, of course,
use the tape. That's funny.
Well, there was that great version of Poncho and Lefty.
Yeah,
with Willie and Bob.
Yep. And people can go watch. I mean, I just watched it a couple weeks ago because I just still seems surreal to me that I was there that night for that thing. So once in a while, I go watch a clip from it. Wow, that was, you know, I got to meet Ben Montench and Kenny Aronoff and Don Was and Willie Nelson.
Right.
Yeah.
Living on the road. keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like art, and your breath is hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye. To your dreams.
Thanks for listening to the Wall of Power Radio Hour. This show is produced by Paul Metz, engineered by Paul Sally, originally recorded by Andy Watson and Kevin Chilcote at Studio 6 in Northeast Minneapolis. The show was brought to you in part by Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation. Come out and see me play sometime every Tuesday night at Miller's Bar and Grill on 40th Avenue and 7th Street in Columbia Heights, 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday nights, we're over in St. Paul with Paul Metz and Sonny Earl. Below the Public Bar and Kitchen at 229 East 6th Street from 8:30 to 11 in a beautiful little place called the Green Lantern. And next Thursday, Willie Walker and I will be celebrating our 7th anniversary of Thursday nights at Shaw's Bar in Minneapolis from 5 to 7:30 with special guests. Shaw's Bar is at the corner of 16th and University Avenue, Northeast. And we'd like to thank our guest, Dan Israel. Find more info on Mr. Israel at danisraelmusic.com. Hope you're enjoying this great spring weather like I am. And like my dad used to tell me, remember to be kind and make someone happy.